on today's episode of Big Time, the podcast, brought to you by Big Time Sports, the St. John Valley Sports Authority. Today, we're joined by one of the best to ever do it on the soccer fields of Northern Maine. I believe the expression is, women lie, men lie, but numbers don't. And his numbers back it up. Today, we're joined by Madawaska's Ian Lee on today's episode of Big Time, right now. Let's go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another round of the podcast we call Big Time. Big Time, the podcast. And another Madawaska Owl on today's episode. We're doing a big for Mad Time for season 5. We got Ian Lee on the phone, all the way from San Antonio, Texas. That's how big time we are. We got people from Texas calling in. Ian, how you doing tonight, man?
Good. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm good. We've been trying to make this happen for a while. I cornered Ian in the gym one night at Planet Fitness and said, I got to get you on. And it took a little while, but here we are. We finally got him on. So we're just going to jump right into it. So right off the top, like I mentioned, Madawaska Zone. Are you born and raised from good old Madawaska, Maine?
I'm actually born a Caribou Viking for about 2 seconds of my life and then back to Madawaska.
Carey Medical Center? Were you just born?
Carey Medical Center, yes, sir.
Were you just born in the hospital, or were your parents living in Caribou at the time?
No. I was just born down there.
That's unfortunate. That's too bad. But born and raised in Madawaska, though, right?
Yes, sir.
So you're graduating class of what? Where did you graduate high school? Just to kind of get an idea.
2014.
So born in the late 90s. Came up with a really good time when Madawaska athletics were really, really good. What are your earliest memories of athletics in general in your household?
Oh man, that's my older brother John, Jonathan Lee, 3 years older than me. I think he was class of 2011. I mean, if the math's right, 3 years earlier. And then Jordan Albert, a long time before that. I think he might have been 2008, 2009. He played a lot of soccer, and of course my brother did too, and they were both actually really, really good athletes. And then being the young buck, you're always trying to be better than them growing up anyway, so I guess that's kind of how I found my way into sports.
Absolutely. So were your parents into sports too, or was it pretty much just something that you and your brother picked up?
No, dad goes back. I think dad was a wrestler. He tells me a bunch of stories about how he used to be wrestling, coached it for a little bit, so he was had a little bit of a coaching background too. Mom, She was living up at the lake, and I think back in that day, it was tough to schedule around practices and games and get back up to 15-minute drive to Long Lake to get back home. So
I hear you.
I think we're kind of first-generation sort of soccer, basketball. I think dad played baseball too, though.
You mentioned wrestling. Does Madawaska even have a wrestling program?
No, not anymore.
Okay, they used to.
I think they tried to revive it a little bit before I got to high school, but I don't think it ever panned out.
That's one sport I've been showing love to on Big Time. We got to get some wrestlers on at some point. We'll work on that for all you wrestling fans out there. But so you mentioned your brother. I recognize your brother's name. You guys came up a little bit after me, right around my sister's age. So a little bit familiar with some of the names. We're gonna dig into it here and just see what we can come up with. But
okay,
mentioned you guys were probably in a little bit of everything growing up, right? Just all sports at a young age.
I mean, yeah, and that's kind of the consensus growing up in Northern Maine. I mean, you only got so long you can play one sport. So when you can golf, you golf. When you can play soccer, you play soccer. When you can ski, you ski. So you just kind of become a jack of all trades.
Let me ask you this too, because I know Madawaska, they do have a ski team, right?
Yes, they do. I dabbled in that for like 2 weeks before I finally went back to Don DeShane to play some basketball.
Where do you guys ski at? Like I live like two towns over, and I know absolutely nothing about Madawaska. I've learned so much from doing this podcast. But like where do you guys ski out there?
Back in the day when there was an Alpine team, they used to go across the Mont Far line in Edmondson. I'm pretty sure that's where they do their meets. For the cross country Nordic style stuff, there's Four Seasons Lodge. It's actually a really, really cool place. Doing a lot of cool work up there. There's miles of trails up there, and that's where they hold all the ski races.
So, like in Fort Kent, we have the biathlon center and stuff like that. So I
Yeah.
can
We
only.
actually used to go to that when we were kids. On like Thursday nights, they had this awesome program. We got to actually shoot the 22 rifles and dabble into that a little bit. It was a fun time.
Yeah, so when I was coming up, but like when they first introduced biathlon, I was like in middle school, and like the school got like a grant or like a ton of money for like ski equipment. They were trying to like force it on us. Did they force skiing on you guys, or was that kind of just something you guys did on your own?
I don't think they ever really had to. I mean, with high school sports, I mean, some friends join the ski team, some friends play basketball. So for me, it was kind of like, oh, I'll try out skiing for a little bit, and then eventually it wasn't really my thing. But I think it's the middle school programs, those CEDAR programs, that really determine what you're going to do when you get to high school. If you got a good middle school ski program like we did, we had Colin Gendreau as our middle school ski coach, and he was just awesome.
So in Fort Kent, we have two things that we can do in the wintertime besides snowmobiling, like especially like in middle school and stuff like that. There's the skating rink and there's the ski tow. And that's like kind of where social activities were going on. You're either like hanging out with people at the skating rink or hanging out with people at the ski tow. What were you guys doing in Madawaska at that age for hanging out? Because
Oh man.
I know summertime, there's plenty of things for you guys to do. What about wintertime?
Yeah, winter. I mean, as a kid, there's always basketball practice. So we're always in, if you're friends with, like, let's say Matt Duchesne, Don Sun, we're always in the gym shooting around whenever we can. A lot of us, middle school, kind of fizzled out in high school a little bit, but we were always over at Mont Farlane, just kind of screwing around in the terrain park over there. Pretty much most days we could get there, we were there. It was me, Ethan Wetmore, Tim Duchesne, Don's other son, Sam Duchesne, Alex Sirwa, just a bunch of guys. Just a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, when you were at that younger age coming up, too, there was also a lot of really good sports teams at the high school in Madawaska coming up. Were you
Yes, yes.
going to games? Were you following the high school teams at a young age?
Mostly when my cousin and brother were playing, because they're mostly soccer players. John was a skier, my older brother. Very good skier. Back in like the Miles Morneau days, I kind of like Alan Campbell basketball. I kind of followed it a little bit, but I don't really remember much of it. It's more just my brother, because I was coming in behind him.
Right. What was your first introduction to organized team sports in Madawaska?
Oh man, that's a long time ago.
Because
When I was
you guys had a rec program, right?
we had great rec programs when I was growing up. Shout out to Dean Gendreau and Colin Gendreau as well. He had the soccer program. We'd actually play in the outfield of the softball field. Yeah, we had all these great programs. So as early as I can remember, we were always playing some kind of team or travel soccer in fourth and fifth grade.
So that's kind of like your first introduction. Did you take to it right away? Is it something you really, really enjoyed, or were you kind of just
Oh,
doing it because everyone else was doing it?
absolutely. Absolutely. I always had that competitive side to me. Sometimes it gets the best of me too. So that was always in me from when I was a little kid.
The rec programs. Did you guys have a summer rec program too, or was it just like the fall sport, winter sport, like baseball?
Do you mean like a rec program, like the kids go do activities all day kind of thing? Yeah, we had that. I was never really involved in that as a kid. I'd mostly just do the DSA Dutch soccer with Robbie Cruel when he came around. Dan Sear, actually from Fort Kent, I think he's still teaching the gym classes at the Madawaska Elementary School. He'd do Camp Kick It in the summer, so we always had these weeks of soccer camps or whatnot we could take part in. And then I was fortunate enough to have parents who would send me to these.
Yeah, so obviously Camp Kick, that was Fort Kent. Did they go to Madawaska as well for that?
I actually didn't know they did in Fort Kent.
And then Dutch soccer, I know they used to do a week in Fort Kent. Did they also go to Madawaska, or were you going to
Yeah,
Fort Kent for that too?
they do the week in Madawaska as well.
Who were the coaches at the Dutch Soccer Academy thing?
Oh
Did
man.
they have, did they bring coaches in, or was it like local
Yeah, yeah,
people?
yeah, yeah. No, there's coaches from overseas. I obviously the Dan and Robbie, obviously. I can't remember many of the other guys, to be honest. But yeah, there was a crew from all over the globe.
Yeah, I remember that was a pretty big thing. Like whenever Dutch Soccer Academy, whenever that week would roll through, people were all excited for it. I didn't play soccer, so
Yeah, man,
I didn't
free
quite understand it, but
t-shirts. Free bright orange t-shirts. Where else are you going to get those?
I wish I could get my hands on one of those. That might be worth some money right now. It's probably in a thrift shop somewhere up there in circulation. But
Hopefully, Robbie Cruel's a listener.
yeah. So obviously played sports at a young age. the rec department, and then you guys start middle school. Is it just 6 through 8 in Madawaska? Is that your middle school?
Yeah, 6 through 8.
And then once you hit middle school, were you playing all the sports once again? Just soccer in the fall, basketball in the winter?
Yeah. That's when I got, more organized, obviously. We actually started to care about how we were doing against the other towns when the little young rivalry started cracking open.
Yeah, so that's, for you guys, that's your first introduction to some of the surrounding towns, and maybe the first time you start playing against kids from other towns. Were there any kids that you wound up battling in high school that you remember from, like, 6th and 7th grade, like, playing against them for the first time?
Yeah, the few of us that played AYBL growing up, like, Aroostook Youth Basketball League, or whatever the acronym is. So you had teams from, like, Fort Kent, Holt, and Caribou. So we all kind of got to know each other at a real young age, and it just happened to be the people that would play every single season of sport. We always knew each other, knew who we had to mark up on, who we had to guard tight in every single game.
You remember who some of your coaches were in middle school?
Yeah, middle school. It was Douglas Sear for soccer. And I think Colin Gendre ended up finishing it out when we were 8th grade. Both great coaches, loved playing for them. Both taught us a ton, actually. I remember Doug Sears conditioning, doing the hills. It might have been a little overkill for middle school soccer, looking back. But it was great memories. Basketball would have been Doug Sear again, yeah. Oh, yeah, so Doug was coaching everything.
Yeah, busy guy.
Yeah, great guy.
In those middle school years, did they kind of treat you guys like the middle school, like a feeder program, like we're kind of the way the high school teams played? Did they kind of try to implement that in your middle school teams, or was it more so just learning the basics, learning the fundamentals, and just learning how to play?
At every level, you kind of have different calibers. So I guess in middle school, it was great to some of the people who hadn't played as much, they could get their hands on the ball a little bit and learn a bit more of the fundamentals. But for us, it was kind of growing that competitive edge, honestly. We really had it in basketball in middle school, but then a bunch of people moved away. Corey Natto ended up moving to Gorham. He was probably the best shooter that we had growing up. Cullen ended up moving to Wisconsin or something. So our basketball team definitely fizzled out. But it was pretty much just people who were going to play in middle school were going to end up playing in high school.
So here's a good question for you, because I know just from personal experience and watching my older brother play and stuff like that, that sometimes in middle school, the biggest kid is usually the best player at whatever sport, but sometimes they peak in middle school. Do you remember like a couple individuals that were just monsters at a very young age that just kind of put the fear in you, that were just maybe a little bit more developed than everyone else at that young age?
Oh, heck yeah. I can't name names off the top of my head from other schools and stuff, but I remember like when Matt Deshane or like DJ Gendre were playing in middle school basketball. I don't know if you recognize DJ's name.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you should. Those guys are just monsters. I mean, you can't do anything. And like when you're like little old me down in the paint, they get the ball, you kind of just like, whatever, just go for it, get it over with.
There were some tall, lanky fellas at a young age, those two.
Yeah, I don't remember what year was that Tom Minerva ended up moving to Fort Kent. I don't know if I ever played against him in middle school.
Yeah, that would have been, maybe late 2000s, maybe.
I remember going into freshman year of high school, and whenever we were going to play Fort Kent, I was like, dude, just wait out for Big Red. Like, that was because now I got to know Tom pretty well, actually. Yeah. We're pretty good friends now, but I was like, oh, damn, this guy's massive.
It's a big boy, yeah.
Great guy.
So you mentioned high school. So freshman year would have been what, 2007, 2008?
Oh, no, dude, I'm young.
My bad. My math is all off right now.
2011, maybe?
Okay, yeah. I was hearing Tom Minerva and all these names, and I was going way further back.
He was a few years older than me.
So coming into high school, obviously well-known as a soccer player, and we'll get into your exploits in a little bit. Coming into high school, we'll go through soccer first, and we'll kind of go through the other sports after that. But coming in as a freshman, what were your personal expectations? Did you just want to make varsity? Did you think that you were going to make varsity and get playing time? What were your personal expectations once you got to high school?
Going to high school sports, it was kind of different between each one. With soccer, it was pretty much bust your ass and have no other option of becoming at least a swinger, JV and varsity. My coach is actually Ben Sirwa, and he was actually a very motivating guy, and he ended up actually picking me for. I wasn't actually even swinging. I ended up being just varsity, and that was something I didn't even expect to do, because when you're a freshman, like you just know that regardless of how good you are, you're still going to be a freshman, and that's important to keep in the back of your head. For basketball, it was kind of just like hopefully be athletic enough to play both JV and varsity, and then ended up playing tennis in high school instead of baseball, and that was just learning the whole sport in general. I'd never played tennis before in my life. Ended up falling in love with it. Like we still play it. That's the sport me and my friends go play to this day. Always go knock around the tennis court.
It's always a good time right there.
Oh, absolutely.
So coming into the soccer season as a freshman, you mentioned your coach Ben Sitawa. What kind of team were you coming into? And was it a veteran laden team, a lot of upperclassmen?
We were expecting big things. I mean, that was my brother. I got to play 1 year with my brother. He was a senior then. My brother DJ was a senior. He was up top as a forward with me. No, we were a really decent team and great junior class too. That was Dylan Wetmore's year, Kyle Tardif, those guys. I would definitely say we underperformed that year. Did not go as we got kicked out early round against Orono.
What was the biggest adjustment your freshman year? Because obviously you got playing time. What was the biggest adjustment for you once you started playing against some of these older kids?
Using your strengths, I was always a pretty quick kid, but and I kind it kind of ended up later. I'm getting ahead of myself, but in college, I kind of had the same dilemma. It's a lot more physical every level you step up, so it's like you got to learn to be more like spatially aware, more your timing's got to be better. You got to do things like that, and I'd say most of my success freshman year came from just run on through balls from my brother, who was like precision pinpoint passer at the time. But yeah.
How would you describe your playing style?
Freshman year is definitely timid. I was actually put a few different places. I remember playing defense for a couple games when we had to mark some important people. That would have been like against Fort Kent when they had Tom Levesque. I had to run around, keep up with that kid, which is not an easy thing to do. And then, but yeah, it was mostly figuring out as I go, what my strengths were going to be as a player.
Did you have a moment that first year where you kind of like, holy shit, like this is a little bit different than middle school soccer? Was it like maybe a
Oh,
game?
yeah, absolutely. You go from scoring upwards of four a game to like, okay, I really hope I get at least one today. Let me prove my worth this game, you know?
So you mentioned that freshman year you guys kind of underachieved and kind of went out early.
Absolutely.
Coming into your sophomore year, I'm guessing you might have prove to yourself that you could do well, in high school on the varsity
Yeah.
level, and your expectations kind of changed from being a freshman just wanting to either make varsity and get playing time to becoming like a bigger part of the team. What were your
Yeah.
goals coming into sophomore year?
Oh, sophomore year, I was still trying to prove myself. I mean, for me, that was kind of the biggest motivator the first couple of years. That year would have been like Dill Wetz would have been a senior, Devin, Kyle, Matt. And you're still playing with guys that are all older than you. I mean, you're not the leader of the team yet. So you're still taking kind of a backseat role, but just trying to do everything you can to, show your worth to the team, show what you can do.
You mentioned a name, and he's a friend of the program, one of our favorites here at Big Time, Matt Duchesne. We know him as a basketball player. Tell us, what was Matt Duchesne's soccer ability like? What was his style on the soccer field like?
Just
You don't have to hold back. You could be honest.
launch the ball at that forehead and hope it goes into the upper right corner.
Sounds about right. That's exactly what I would
No,
picture.
I'm just kidding. Matt actually had one of the nastiest volleys I remember to this day. Someone crossed it over from the right corner, and he was up at the top of that half moon D mark at the top of the 18. He just pinged it at like 80 miles an hour to the top corner. But the thing about Matt, and I'm sure you can picture this, is he just put his hands out, walked away like it was nothing.
Just
Just
no
didn't
big
even
deal.
acknowledge what he just did. You can picture it.
Good old Matt.
Shout out, Matt. How you doing? I haven't seen you in a
Yeah,
while.
absolutely. So How'd you guys do as a team sophomore year? Because I know you guys have had a really good string of success. You guys have had some good teams.
Sophomore year, we should have at least gone to the state game, and maybe not, because the team that ended up knocking us out, I think, won states that year. That was good old Holton High School.
That's
our nemesis, definitely. High school soccer, Holton High School. There were some big dudes on that team.
Yeah, so just talking about opponents here. So you guys played pretty much, or probably, an Arista County schedule for the most part, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
And some very good teams.
Actually, maybe all of them, except for Callis. I think we played Callis maybe junior year or something.
And Arista County soccer is no joke. A lot of really good teams and stuff like that here in the county. You mentioned Holton. What were some of the other teams you guys just had absolute battles with? Well, excluding the county, the Valley Rivals. We'll get into the rivalry with the teams a little bit later. But what were some of the other teams in the county that you guys battled consistently?
Yeah, number one, definitely Holton. Number two, obviously, Caribou. Caribou's, no matter what sport, they're going to be strong in anything. They got some athletes over there. We never had Prescott regular season, but we did go to their summer tournament. That was actually always something we kind of got amped up for.
Yeah.
Because, we actually had pretty good results. I think junior year, maybe even sophomore year and senior year, we ended up beating them. Anytime you can beat, an upper class school, it gives you that motivation. That we are actually that good.
So you mentioned some of the different schools here, and one thing you kind of noticed in the valley and the county too is just different style of plays of some of these different schools. Was there one particular team that you just didn't like to play against because of their style of play? Could have been physicality, could have been their technical ability. Was there just one school in particular that just was not a fun day playing against them?
Let's see. That's a tough one. Gotta go with Holton again.
Yeah.
Gotta go with Holton. They had some big guys. They had that Dan Swallow, probably like 6-something. Jimmy Fitzpatrick, who actually became a teammate of mine later at Husson. Another kid named Dan, don't really quite remember. And that Colt Buzzio, who had a great PK save on one of mine that still haunts me to this day. They were a great team, and you knew that they had athletes, they had size, they had everything they needed. They had a guy who could, do a throw in from Madawaska to Edmonston if he needed to. Really, really tough team to beat.
You mentioned the preseason tournament in Prescott that you guys would take part in. You also mentioned that, you kind of just play whatever sport was in season at the time just to kind of stay busy because it could be tough in Northern Maine. Were you working on your soccer skills in the off season? Was it something you did, or was it something you just picked up in your soccer time? You just started playing soccer?
Yeah, I didn't really notice this till I ended up getting older. Like, you kind of reflect on things. I was kind of that weird introverted kid that would just go to the soccer field when he had spare time, put a soccer ball in my backpack and run over to it. Yeah, it was just a pastime.
Were you going to any camps, anything like that in the summertime, or was it just much all on your own?
I got the Kobe camp over at Kobe College in Waterville. That was a nice camp. I remember a bit about it. I made a lot of connections, like a lot of guys I still talk to this day from the outside family in Waterville, so that kind of helps too. But DSA, do they still do the camp in Presque Isle?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I know like people in the past have talked about it growing up and stuff like that. I don't know if they still do though.
Yeah, I know. That was a great camp, DSA. That was a really, really good one. It drew actually people from all over the state and actually people with really good talent too. They split you up into different tiers so you're with people that were of similar ability to you. I mean, because that's the only way you're getting better, right? If you're playing people that are better than you.
You mentioned your coach earlier, Ben. What kind of relationship did you guys have?
Well, I only had Ben for 1 year. Okay. And then he decided to focus a little more on family and career, which is, more power to him. Definitely would have done the same thing. Dean Gendro, who was the rec director at the time, ended up taking over. So we had 3 years with Dean, and he was just a great guy. But relationship with Ben, it was – I had him as a first grade teacher, as a third grade teacher, and he was coaching back then too. So you were just so excited to be playing for him when you finally get to high school. It was a little bit tough that he decided to hang up the whistle after just 1 year with him. But we had great times with Dean, who did a great job too.
What was your relationship with Dean like? Was he But what kind of coach was he? Was he kind of tough with his players? Was it tough love, or was it more of a player's coach? What was his style?
Dean was perfect on both sides. He was tough. He was motivating, but you know, he's also just there's times where when you're kind of friends with your coach that it can't really be a good thing. But with Dean, it was like it was only a good thing. You know, he was just great with us, laughing with us, joking around with us. Nothing but good times with Dean.
So coming into your junior year, kind of flamed out freshman year, sophomore year, you said you guys should have went to States. What'd you guys want to do in junior year?
Junior year, same kind of thing. Got knocked out, I think, by Holton again. I'm telling you, dude, it is quite the whatever you want to call it.
Did you guys win a lot of games regular season?
Oh yeah, we'd have I don't remember how many games were in a season, but it'd always be, you know, either one loss or at the most two, especially junior, senior year.
I'm guessing that one loss or two losses were to Fort Kent, right?
Hardly ever. Hardly ever.
Oh, man.
No, we did have – I forget what year it was. We lost on the road to you guys. I think we lost. We might have won. I don't know. Probably won.
So we talked about some of these – some of the other county teams you guys played against and just the style of play, intensity, and stuff like that. A lot of guys that I talk to from Madawaska, they say when it comes to Valley rivalries, it's just Fort Kent. They don't really look at Van Buren as a rival or Wisdom as a rival. In your eyes, is the Fort Kent game the only game that counts, or did you get amped up for the Van Buren games?
Of the Valley teams, the only game that matters is the Fort Kent game.
What were those games like?
Those were intense, man. Those were you spend the whole day at school. Like, I don't even think you focus on a single subject. You're just like, all right, let's get going. You're antsy, you're in your chair. You just want to get going. Those are great, great memories. I remember playing that Fort Kent. The guys always kept your grass pretty long for some reason. I don't know if that was intentional.
Home field advantage right there. Just one of those little tricks. One of the little tricks of the trade.
Yeah, you guys got all your trucks lining up behind the goal. That's true. Good, man. It was like Friday Night Lights type stuff.
Yeah. So what'd you get more jacked up for? Were you more excited for the Fort Kent game in Fort Kent or more excited for the Fort Kent game in Madawaska?
No, Madawaska, absolutely. Absolutely. We had some kind of rowdy fans. So some soccer dads out there couldn't really keep it in. It was always a good time playing Fort Kent and Madawaska. For some reason, our field under the lights. Like, I was just back home a few weeks back, went to the scrimmage with the high school team. Now, man, that was nostalgic.
What's the difference between a Fort Kent home crowd and a Madawaska home crowd?
Oh man, a lot less pickup trucks.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So you mentioned the games against Fort Kent were always intense. I'm guessing they were physical. Did anybody try to rough you up? Is there just one person who was just an irritant? You're like, come on, dude. Like, relax.
Shout out Kobe Jandra. How you doing, buddy? No. Kobe's a great guy. But there's, no. I remember he was always on my heels that last game we ever played against them, that Eastern Maine final.
Looking back on all the matchups versus Fort Kent, is there one moment in particular in the rivalry that kind of sticks out for you?
Yeah. I think it was a home game. I ended up scoring four against you guys.
Oh, okay. That's
that was a great time.
That's a good memory.
Yeah. So, I remember that first away Fort Kent game freshman year. I ran to Mark Tom Levesque, and that was my first time. I was like, damn, this kid's fast. Yep. It's true. He's pretty damn good.
Good soccer player.
Yeah, great guy.
So you mentioned it's Fort Kent, that's the rivalry and stuff like that. How come you didn't view Van Buren as a rival? I'm curious because I've had this conversation with a lot of people too, and their answers kind of vary, but they don't, you know, matter.
I think Van Buren back in your day was a lot different than Van Buren when we were in high school. Great guys in Van Buren, a lot of good friends of mine, but it wasn't much of a competition.
Kind of one-sided?
Yeah, very. Very
okay. I can see that. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
So junior year, another tough loss to Holton. Coming into senior year, this is where we got to start talking about the goals. So for people that may not know, you graduated as the state's all-time boys leading soccer scorer, correct? Do you still hold the record?
I may I think so. I think one of the kids at the scrimmage told me someone had beat it, but I didn't really follow up with it.
We might have to get our stats guys here on Big Time to take a look at that. But
you got someone on a laptop on your end?
We'll find some. I might have to do it afterwards. I have to do it afterwards. But
all right.
But yeah, so you graduated as the state's all-time leading boys soccer scorer. When did you start putting goals in the back of the net? Did it start freshman year, or did it kind of just gradually pick up?
It picked up pretty drastically from freshman to sophomore year.
Okay.
I think freshman I had like, it was under 20. I think it was 14, 15. And then I think I doubled that the next year. I just started getting more confidence, more green light to keep the ball in the foot. And I had people that filled into their roles too. Like Dylan was feeding me left and right. We had a great midfield too. So yeah. Coming, sophomore year started ramping up.
So coming into senior year, the record had to be something you were aware of, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah. I figured I had a chance for it going into senior year. And when I'm a generally goal oriented person, so you kind of just, you want to get it, you're not going to not, you're always obviously going to try.
Do you remember coming into senior year, how many goals you needed to break the record?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Or was it something that was pretty clear that you were going to be able to do, or was it something you had to kind of go for?
Yeah, I think I had a pretty good idea that it was going to happen. I just wanted it to really happen, get over with, and then we move on kind of thing. I don't think I needed very many. I'd probably say under 20.
Okay. How many games into the season did it take you to break the record?
I think I tied it against Fort Kent.
Oh, God. It had to be against Fort Kent.
Was it three or four that game? But, yeah, there's one game where I scored a few, and it was against Fort Kent.
All right, so the game that you broke the record, I'm guessing it's one that's kind of sticks out in your mind as one of those things you just always forget for right reasons. Who were you playing against the game you guys broke the record?
Van Buren.
Oh, man, okay. So
yeah, it was going to happen. And the one that ended up happening, I was just like, I think I mishit it with my left foot, and it just hit something in the goalie, which is way behind. I think he was on the other side of the net. Like, it shouldn't have gone in. And then the next goal I had after that was this like banger header to the top right corner. I was like, why couldn't it not have been that one?
What was the immediate celebration? They just stopped the game, kind of give you the game ball, or was it more than that?
They had stopped it against you guys, against Fort Kent when I tied it.
Yep.
The majority of the team is actually like Abraham was coming up to me, Cody. You guys talk about a big rivalry, but we were pretty chill with Fort Kent.
Yep.
And then I think when we broke it, I got a game ball, and Miss Wetmore, Lynn Wetmore, Dylan's mom, was our AD at the time, and she presented to me along with I think our principal and dean.
So obviously you broke that record during the season, but the record didn't stop there. You kept going.
Yeah, we still had a few games left. And then playoffs, obviously.
So what did you wind up finishing with for your career?
124? 124, I think.
I should have looked this up. I should have did the homework and find out how many you actually passed it by. But, I mean, I think you beat it pretty comfortably, right? You have a...
Yeah, I think it was 107. I remember that. I remember what I had to get. It was 107.
And you finished with 120-something?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Not too shabby.
So obviously, I'm guessing that's one of the moments that kind of stands out the most looking back in your high school career. But I'm guessing you also wanted some team success, and you mentioned you guys were talented enough and probably could have made it to the States a couple times. What happened senior year? How did it go down for you guys?
We had that Eastern Maine game against Fort Kent on it always has to be Fort Kent on that field over by the rec, the big blue rec department.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys ever played there, but so we ended up moving the field to there because our field, like during the fall, it just gets ripped up. Like it's a mud pit. It's like, it's bad. So we moved it over to that game, and that was a good game. That was a really good game.
So you guys were top seed, obviously, if it was played in Madawaska.
Yep.
But
finally beat Holton that year. Yeah, I just want to get that out there. You know? So Jimmy, if you're listening, we finally beat Holton.
So you finally beat Holton. And then you have this crazy rivalry game set up for the Eastern Main Final, or maybe it was the Northern Main Final at that time. What was the final result?
I think it was 1-0. Travis Tebow with a great right-footed laser to the bottom left corner. Travis Tebow scored that goal.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, 38 goals as a senior while leading the Owls to the Eastern Maine Class C Championship. There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, it's got to be nice when you have individual success, but teams also successful as well, and you guys won the Eastern Maine Championship.
I mean, yeah, if you think I'd be anywhere close to that without Sam Sear by me, my cousin Jake on the right side, like, not a chance. It was made easy for me.
So you guys make it to the States. Who do you guys play in the state championship?
Oh, man. This is where it gets messed up, man. It was Marinacook. So there was really, really strong Class B team, I believe, the year prior. And then all of a sudden they decided to come down to Class C that year. I don't think they graduated many kids at all. My buddy Nick LaCasse that I met at one of those camps was playing for that team. And I don't think it was much. It wasn't a bad game. It ended up 2-0. We had a really decent chance to make it 2-1, but yeah, I mean, we also all hit the Hollywood Slots buffet the night before, so it wasn't the best free game.
Yeah, probably not the best way to get ready for a state championship.
No, not at all.
But looking back, what's one thing? Looking back on your high school soccer career, what's one thing you wish you would have got? I'm guessing it's the state championship.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
But
100%.
Still somewhat successful. I'm reading right now. You were named All New England, and that's a pretty nice honor to have right there. Was there an actual was there like an All Star game or something like that for New England, or is it just like the team you make?
No, you have that senior. Is it Senior Bowl? Is that what it's called? Like when the some people from the East play the people in the West. We had that game.
Yep.
There wasn't really anything for All New England. I think it was just kind of an accolade you got.
It's not a bad accolade to have right there, though.
No, that was great. That was great. So, actually, the guy who ended up being All-American out of us is playing, I think, for Minnesota right now in the MLS. So.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So soccer was probably the – I'm going to go out on a limb and say that was your sport in high school. But you mentioned you played
some – Nah, dude, I think it was basketball. Damn good basketball. No. Yeah.
What do you remember about basketball? Looking back at it now, I'm guessing it's something you kind of
just having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't very, very height gifted in my later years. I mean, before we had Matt, we had Travis, who were really tall guys. But I mean, we had some talented kids, but it just wasn't our strength.
What's it like going from being one of the best the best to do it with, like with the goal scoring thing and being on top, being All New England and stuff like that. And then going into a different sport and just kind of being like one of the guys, is that a tough transition or is it just one of those things where it's fun to be around the guys?
That's the thing. I mean, you're just having fun. Basketball is probably some of the best memories I've ever had. Don DeShane made it a great time for us. We knew our capabilities. I mean, obviously we got frustrated at some times, but it was just a good time.
So you also mentioned tennis.
Yeah.
Did you play baseball all in there too, or was tennis your fall sport?
I played. There's a time where our numbers, because that's another problem up north, numbers are just not there anymore.
Yeah.
They might be coming back. I'm not sure. But they had this thing where we could play baseball and tennis at the same time. But that doesn't last long because your rotator cuff is about to explode.
So after high school, I'm guessing there were some offers to go play soccer. What were some of the schools that were looking at you?
I had Huston, obviously, Coach Gettler at the time. He was probably the one that was trying the hardest, putting the most effort in. I had St. Joseph's that wanted me to go play. I had no idea about their program back then. I know their coach just left, but they're probably one of the best teams in the state besides UMFK.
Yeah,
they're a great, great program. So looking back, I should have looked into them more because they're a great team. But I thought about going all the way to Quinnipiac. I had a contact down there that I was definitely invited to come try out on the team. But, it came down to you had to be really mature about the decision, realistic about things and where am I going to be in 5-6 years.
And ultimately decided to go with Huston Eagles.
No, I didn't play.
Yes.
I'm UMaine.
So you went to UMaine.
Yeah, that turned a lot of heads. But, I mean, with there's a lot of attention coming around the goal thing. I mean, some of it good, some of it a lot of it negative. So it's kind of just like I need a break from it, you know.
Just kind of burnt out a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. That's definitely a good word for it. So I decided to go to UMaine. I had an opportunity to get some of my schooling covered through the Pulp and Paper Foundation for Chemical Engineering. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do yet. I mean, what kid does? So I decided to go to UMaine, just open up my options, met a bunch of great people. Don't regret it. Don't regret it at all.
That seems to be something that a lot of kids do, and it benefits yep. them a lot in the long term. So
absolutely.
You know, nothing wrong with that. And I mean, it all worked out. But eventually you did make your way to Huston. When did you get to Huston?
It just took 1 year. Took 1 year before I had Coach Geller's number at that point. I think I sent him a text and I was like, hey, you still got another spot? And he's like, yeah, come over.
Yep.
We'll help you out with the transition and stuff. And then I got into the whole pre-pharmacy pharmacy thing, which was much, much better fit than chemical engineering.
So it all started to kind of fall into place. You knew what you wanted to do school-wise. Was Huston a good fit soccer-wise?
Yeah. I knew some guys on the team. Actually, Dylan Wentmore from Madawaska was playing. He had walked onto the team. And through him, I had met, you know, like Josh Bean, Andrew Perkins, Phil Frost, who was actually a great player at Bangor. I think he might have been All-American. Yeah, he might have been All-American. So it was very welcoming. It wasn't a hard thing to do. It wasn't really like a nerve-wracking thing to do. But again, you know, it got me back to the whole trying to prove myself thing, which, you know, it's that competitive side comes out, and I'd really miss that.
Let me ask you this, and you can be completely honest about this. Is the Huston soccer field just the worst soccer field around?
I mean, it's got like 4 different types of grass, turf grass on it, because I think the lacrosse team kind of cuts it up. So they decide to go to these fields that have no matching turf, and then they just bring these patches of like 3-inch higher grass and put it like where the PK spot is. It's a trash. It's absolutely trash.
It feels like there's no turf left. Like it's just like rubber out there. Like ball just must roll and roll and roll.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's all bedded down. I think there's plans to redo it, but I mean,
I would hope
that's
so.
That's one of those things that's been said like 3-4 years now. So we'll see what Coach Gavin Penny can convince them to do.
Looking back on your college soccer days, was it a good experience? Was it something that you enjoyed? What do you take away from the college soccer days?
It's a very 50-50 thing. When I could, you know, 100% focus on the college sports, like, and just the experience of it, like, it is one of the greatest things that I ever decided to do. But then when you started hitting grad school, pharmacy school, it's like, okay, now I'm getting, every fall was just a burnt out time. Like, you drive all the way to SUNY Canton in Canton, New York. It's like a 9-hour drive. You'd get back at 1-2 in the morning for class at 8, where you have an exam or a quiz on Monday. And then you're just like, I got to stay up all night. It got taxing, definitely. I had to take a year off before I ended up going back, but that was a great time.
It is rough, and I mean, try going to UMFK and adding 3 hours to any road trip that you guys ever had.
Exactly. Like, look, and then they go far. UMFK goes far. Tennessee or some crap like that.
So like that was the worst part about playing at UMFK. Is just you spend more time on a bus and just driving, or a van actually, just driving around, but.
Yeah, it's those little white vans, right, that UMFK drives around.
Yeah, don't you guys at least travel around in coach buses and stuff at Huston?
Yeah, we get coached. So what am I doing complaining? Sorry. No, but yeah.
Did you guys have good teams at Huston? Did you guys have any postseason success? I mean, I know obviously the football teams had some success. Basketball teams have been good. What about soccer teams?
Yeah, I played a NAC final. I think I did. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I did. And then we ended up losing last year to Thomas. Was it Thomas? Yes, it was Thomas. And that was just a weird day. We can get into that if you want to, but that was just a
messed up thing. Go for it. Let's hear it.
All right. So they changed some rule in the NAC, the North Atlantic Conference, where Thomas and Waterville is part of it, you know, all these teams. And Maine Maritime Academy was the top seed for somehow. I don't know how that happens. So they made a rule where the semifinal game and the final games would be played at MMA, regardless of whether MMA is playing in the game. So I don't know if that makes any sense to you. It doesn't to me, but whatever. So we get to MMA, and it's up in Cassie, man. It gets windy and cold, and it was just freezing. So we started the game. We're about 10, 15 minutes, and things are going good for us. Like, we definitely got the upper hand. And then all of a sudden, like, wind blows some telephone pole down into some wires. We all lose power. Jeez. And it's about, it's probably like 8:30 p.m. at this time. So the idea, because the finals were the next day. So we had to pack up from Castine, drive to Waterville, warm up for 10 minutes, start the game at 11 p.m. or some ridiculous thing like that. It's like probably 2 degrees. And then we ended up dropping that one 2-1, I think.
That sounds awful.
That was probably one of the worst days of my life, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Now, that was your last soccer game?
Yes, that was it.
That's a tough way to go.
Yeah, definitely not a great way.
But looking back, overall, good experience, right?
Great experience. It's a lot different in college. If any of you young bucks are listening, no matter what level you play at, it's more of a job than I'm going to go here after class, go to practice kind of thing.
It's exactly what you said. It's a job with practice and games, and the amount of time you travel, it's a commitment.
But, and especially with Division III and stuff, it's hard to justify it because, no, you're not getting money to do this. I mean, you're getting some benefits from it, but in the end, it's like you're just doing it because, you know, it's part of you at that point.
Absolutely. Take one, keep one, steal one on Big Time, the podcast. So we're going to get into some of our segments here before we get up out of here for tonight's episode.
Okay.
So first segment's called Take One, Keep One, Steal One. So looking back on, it can be your entire career, or we can just focus on high school if you want. Looking back, if there's one thing that you did really well back then that would carry over into today, what's one thing you would take with you from back then that you did really well that you would still use today? It could be like, you know, just love for the game, playing it the right way, good sportsmanship, anything at all. Yeah.
Dealing with outside criticisms when you can't get your own voice in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People just kind of go on these, I don't want to call them rants, but things get said about you. And you know what? That's perfectly translates into my life right now. I mean, when you become an adult, when you're, you know, I'm about to go into the workforce next year, it's like, you know, you're not going to please everybody. Right. That's just impossible. So the earlier you can figure that out, the better.
So that's one thing you would take with you. What's one thing, or one thing you would keep with you? What's one thing you would take from today? What's one thing you know today, or something you do really well today that you wish you would have known back then and you would have taught 18-year-old Ian something you'd take back with you?
Enjoy the time with your teammates, definitely. Because looking back, all my memories are those last games against Holton, the one where Sam Sear would somehow get me fired up. Because I was always a little nervous going into every game. I mean, you got a lot of pressure on you. And then for some reason, the hockey side of Sam Sear came out and just kind of fired you up or something. Yeah. But I'd always tell Ian, just cherish the time you got with people you're playing with.
All right. And the last one, steal one. So what's one thing you would steal from one of your teammates?
One of my teammates? Every single gold ball Holton got.
What's one thing you would steal from one of your teammates? Maybe something that one of your teammates was really, really good at that you wish you had, looking back now.
Sam Sears' left foot.
just a nasty left foot?
Just a nasty left foot. Anything better than my left foot.
Okay, there we go. So that was Take One, Keep One, Steal One on Big Time. We're going to roll into our next segment.
90 seconds. Rapid fire. No dodging or ducking. It's time for Take Your Pick on Big Time, the podcast.
It's just a 60-second rapid fire. I'm going to rattle off as many random-ass questions that I can think of, and it's just the first answer that comes to mind. We're going to try to keep it to high school sports here. So,
okay.
60 seconds. Here we go. Favorite place to play on the road in high school?
Fort Kent at night.
On the Madawaska bus when you guys would travel, where did the cool kids sit on the bus?
In the front by the coaches.
Where did Matt Duchesne sit?
Nah, I was in the luggage hole on the bottom.
What's the worst road trip that you guys have to take every year? Just the longest bus ride or just...
Cal,
okay. What's the one player that you went up against that just brought the best out of you that made you rise to the occasion?
Jimmy Fitzpatrick from Holton.
Who is the one player that you might have mentioned him earlier, just the one player that you did not like to go up against in high school?
Anybody from Fort Kent. Sorry, boys.
We'll take that. That's good. And then last one, let me think of a good one here real quick to end it. Oh, best spot to get a puts in the Valley. What do you got?
Mofar Line.
Okay. Well, is that technically the Valley?
Oh, shoot. I don't know.
We'll stay on the American side.
Paul Roy's puts in stand back when he had it.
Okay.
I hope he listens to this.
Good answers right there. That was good. I like that. Cool.
Yeah, man.
All right, so we got a couple more segments before we get up out of here. But before we do, let's just let everyone know where you're up to now. So I mentioned on the top that you're out there in Texas right now in San Antonio. So you mentioned pharmacy school at Huston, right? Pharmacy grad? Are you officially a graduate?
I'll be graduated and hopefully licensed by June of next year.
So right now, just getting some on-the-job training type stuff down there in San Antonio?
So, yeah, the way pharmacy school works, at least at Huston, is that you do 3 years of didactic in-class lectures, and then your fourth year, you're just off-campus at various sites doing different – learning how to do pharmacy in different areas and just kind of honing your skills.
What's the ultimate plan here? Once you graduate, do you know where you want to go?
No, that is totally open for whatever comes my way. Like you mentioned, I'm in San Antonio, Texas right now. Loving it down here. So if an opportunity comes up down here, I'm loving it. If an opportunity opens up at home, you know, that's obviously going to be on my radar. So really open to go anywhere.
Any interest in the future and maybe coaching or doing anything like that, doing something like soccer?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. If I do ultimately move back to Maine, in my later years, it'll probably be around Scarborough area. It's a great area. I'd love to take over that team from Coach Diaz, who's actually a good friend of mine. So
great soccer scene down there in Southern Maine.
Absolutely.
Cool. So before we get up out of here, two more segments to bang through here. This first one is called Charlito Wonders. So big bro Charles comes through and he has a question that he's wondering. He wants to know the truth here.
From the land of Donair and Poutine, it's time to sort fact from fiction. Live on location, it's Charlito Wonders on Big Time, the podcast.
So, Charlito, what's your question tonight?
Ian Lee, what up, man? It's Charlito out here in Halifax. Hope you're still playing some soccer, man. I had the pleasure of watching you grow up. Quite the little speedster, scoring some nasty goals. I always enjoyed reffing your games. You were a fun one to officiate, that's for sure. But I just wonder, like, was it odd to be, like, on a breakaway and see me outrunning you? I know, like, you were fast, but, geez, man, I was, like, in my prime. Yeah, hope all is good. Thanks for having a stellar career and allowing me to be part of that. Take it easy, dude.
Is there any truth to that? Was Charles beating you down the field?
Well, I'll start off by saying I didn't know Charlie was in Halifax now. How's it going, Charlie?
Yeah.
But is that even, like, a real question?
You're saying it's not true.
Nah, I mean, Charlie's got some wheels. He was lightning fast.
was there anybody that you remember being faster than you? You mentioned trying to cover Tom Levac back in the day. Is he the one you think about being the fastest that you ever went against?
With a ball, Tom was just as fast as without a ball, so that's pretty impressive. I mean, for people who don't play soccer, that's a tough thing to do. My teammate, I think Randy Morneau, would always beat me in that half-field sprint that coach would always make us do. So, yeah, I think there's just one guy, Randy, was a little bit quicker than I was.
All right.
But I think it was down to the timing on the whistle and stuff, but we'll see.
All right. So last segment before we get up out of here, this is when we get serious for a moment. It's called When You Die, What Jersey Do You Want to Be Buried In? So what jersey means the most to you? I think it's quite obvious, but maybe you'll just throw us a curveball. Which jersey, which team, what sport, what means the most to you? What would you take to the grave with you?
What jersey? It'd have to be that white number 6 jersey that's hanging down at Madawaska High School.
It's obvious. I think it was an obvious choice. So is it on display in Madawaska? Do you guys have, like, a trophy case?
Yeah, it's in with the trophy case with, I think, the pair of boots that I'd worn that year.
So Madawaska, do they retire your number or they just frame your jersey?
No, we're not. I remember going to like Fort Kent, everybody's numbers retired if you did something.
Yeah.
But no, I think there's one other retired jersey at Madawaska, and that's the late Kenny Sirwa.
Oh yeah, good one right there too. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've reached the end here, but before we get up out of here, this is your chance to say anything you want to say. If you want to address any rumors, if you want to squash any beefs, if there's anything you want to say, anything you want to get off your chest, this is your chance where you get to say whatever's on your mind.
I got one thing to say, and it's to mom and dad back home. I know they're going to be listening to this when they see it shared on Facebook or something. Thank you guys for everything. Actually, yeah. Though.
I think you're the first person to do that. That's awesome right there. It's about time somebody shows their parents.
Without them, we wouldn't be.
Exactly. It's the perfect way to go out. So now, as I mentioned on the top, I cornered you in Planet Fitness a while back, trying to make this happen for a while. So I just want to thank
busy,
you for,
man.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for making time for this. I know you're busy down there in Texas doing your thing. So thank you for coming on. That was a lot of fun, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, Ian Lee, Madawaska Zone on Big Time. Make sure you're going back and checking out all of our previous episodes out there on YouTube. We're out there on iTunes. We're on Spotify.
And respond to those Instagram polls, man. Those are some interesting questions.
Yeah, we've been having a good time with that. Feedback's getting better and better. But, hey, guys, if you see the questions on Instagram, respond back. And quit voting for Ian. Ian, you're getting votes for every question I put up there. So... You're quite popular with the folks on Instagram.
The people who aren't voting for me, who are you voting? No, I'm just kidding.
But that's going to do it for this week's episode. Make sure to tune in next time for another big episode. But with that, we'll see you next time.